This is the audio review for the second midterm exam for Religions 203, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Remember, as before, you are allowed a 3x5 card of notes, both sides. And review the study guide, your class notes, PowerPoints, and questions at the end of each section of the text, and you should be well prepared. So, what does Christ mean? So, Christ is a Greek word for the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. So, it's a translation of Mashiach from the Hebrew, so it means Messiah. So, a Christian is a follower of the Christ or the Messiah. The earliest Christian symbol was a fish, and it was an acronym that meant Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. It was not the cross. The cross came later on. Also, Jesus said to his disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They were fishermen, and so that's also part of the symbol of the fish. What did Jesus do before his ministry? Beginning at age 30, he was a carpenter. The three main sects in Judaism during Jesus' ministry, there were the Sadducees, who were seen as collaborators with the Romans. They cooperated with them. They used the temple guard to enforce a Jewish law. The Sadducees were conservatives in that they only believed in the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, or the Law of Moses. Because of that, they didn't believe in life after death, the resurrection. They didn't even believe in angels, which are things that came later on in Judaism, although they sort of appear in, you have some angels appearing in the book of Genesis, but they were, were focused on the rituals in the temple, sacrifice, and they're portrayed in the Gospels as being, more interested in, the money that the temple produces, than in serving God. They turned the temple into a money-making machine, selling sacrifices to people and having sort of a flea market or a bazaar out in the temple court where people were supposed to pray, and Jesus criticized for them. He said, It's written that my Father's house shall be a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of robbers. The word gospel means good news. It's the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. He's come to, he came to save you from your sins, and by believing in him, you can have eternal life. Some of the characteristics of the Gospel of Mark, it's got a lot of action. It's very short. It doesn't contain a lot of big teaching sections about who Jesus is. And it's written for a Roman audience and explains a lot of Jewish rituals and practices. Let's see. It also doesn't contain any birth narratives or references to the virgin birth, although it does call Jesus the Son of God. John the Baptist is baptizing people for the remission of sins, so that sort of makes it surprising that Jesus is baptized, since the message of the gospel is that Jesus is the perfect sinless sacrifice. And in some of the later Gospels, there's an argument with that Jesus has with John about whether it's appropriate or not. perhaps showing this tension. What activities characterized Jesus's 3-year ministry? So Jesus would heal people. He would perform exorcisms, casting out demons, and teach in parables. A parable is a cryptic saying, which the purpose of which was to convey truth to his followers while keeping outsiders in the dark. So the parable of the sower is meant to be a kind of meta-parable or parable about parables, because it talks about how different people receive the parables. So the people where the seed bounces off the path, those are the people with the hard hearts, and Satan snatches it away before it's able to take root. The rocky ground is where the withering, scorching sun represents persecution, and the word of God, which is the seed, grows for a little while and then withers and dies under persecution. And then you have the fertile soil. What's the one that comes before that? You have the path, the rocky ground. Oh, the thorns and thistles. So the seed that falls amongst the thistles is choked out by worldly concerns. So that represents people who are too concerned with day-to-day life and money. And so the fertile ground is the people who have open hearts, who are fertile ground for the word of God, who receive the word of God, and it bears fruit in terms of the faith that they have and their commitment to Jesus. So, Jesus speaks in parables, and then the people who are sort of shallow or who have hard hearts or are more concerned about worldly things are kind of confused. They find it interesting. They are interested in hearing Jesus because he's kind of a celebrity and famous. And then they sort of wander away. But it's the people with open hearts, with spiritual longing, who show up afterwards and ask Jesus, you know, what do these parables mean? And it's to those people, they get the secret of the kingdom of God. And Jesus says to everyone else, things are in parables, meaning they're confused, that they don't, so a parable is not meant to make things clear. It's meant to make things more confused to people on the outside, so that then afterwards Jesus explains the parable to his disciples. And not just meaning the 12, but meaning any of his followers. So he will explain sometimes just to his disciples, sometimes to a smaller crowd of people who are interested in following Jesus, then he tells them the meaning of the parable. So in public, he just speaks in these cryptic sayings, and then in private, he explains what these sayings mean. The Messianic Secret is a description of this phenomenon where someone says to Jesus, "You're the Messiah," and Jesus says, "I am, but don't tell anybody." Some modern scholars have this idea that it means that Jesus never said he was the Messiah, but people thought he was the Messiah. And so it comes out in these made-up stories where someone tells Jesus, I think you're the Messiah, and Jesus says, yeah, but it's a secret. And because they couldn't actually bring themselves to have Jesus saying he's a Messiah when he never claimed it. A more plausible explanation for this is a couple of things. One is that Jesus doesn't want to be taken before.